May I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A land of opportunity, a place where a multitude of choices lay before you. All you have to do is seize them. A melting pot where people of all ages and races come and mingle together. Yes, I am talking about Chipotle. With its amber waves of brown rice, the land of the cheese and the home of the steak. This past Wednesday, I went to this storied place with a Bible in my hand and a few others along with me, and I sat down. I ordered my burrito, of course. I sat down at the table, and the very best thing I had done before was to invite the youth of St. Paul's to join me. And to be clear, I let them know this too. I did not plan our Bible study as sermon preparation, but it really did help me. And it was such a gift to sit with several of these youth around the table over chips and guac and burritos and to think about today's gospel passage together. I loved hearing what stuck out to them or what confused them or the way that the passage related to their life right now. So what we're about to explore together in Matthew's gospel is indebted to the youth who showed up with me at Chipotle and to what we explored together. So let's dive into Matthew's gospel. And to do so, we need a little bit of context. Jesus, for quite a while now, has been preaching and teaching and healing people. He's been proclaiming that the kingdom of God is near. And he's been teaching things that are often difficult, things like love your enemies. This kingdom isn't what everyone was envisioning or hoping for. And so, as we could imagine, some people, perhaps quite a few people, rejected him, rejected his message. And so our passage today is in that context of rejection. Jesus is feeling it. You can hear it in his voice. And today, in our lectionary passage, we even skipped over some of the harshest verses of feeling that rejection. This is verses 20 through 24, where Jesus pronounces woes against all of these cities to which he or his disciples went, and they did not accept him. They did not accept the coming kingdom. And as we sat around this table at Chipotle, we noticed this language of judgment. And when you have the Bible in front of you, like we did at Chipotle, you can't miss those verses. So we read them together. And we notice this is a Jesus who judges and who gets upset and calls people out for their wrongs. So why were people rejecting his message? Well, Jesus gives us a hint at this. He says, he prays, "I thank you, Father, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent. And you have revealed them to infants." What he's saying is that people who think of themselves as wise and as knowledgeable and of knowing all of the things they need to know, they're not the ones who are getting it. In their pride, they're not actually seeing what's in front of them. They're the ones that are missing out on the truth. So if these seemingly wise people whom we might expect to get it, if they don't, who does? Well, Jesus says, infants. Infants get it. And does Jesus literally mean infants? Well, yeah, I think he actually does. Because infants epitomize need. And they cannot survive on their own. They need so many things from others, and without it, they won't survive. They're dependent. They're not self-sufficient. They're trusting. And who's to say that God doesn't reveal God's self in some special way to infants? We wouldn't know if we're not an infant. Who's to say that the sort of knowledge that God wants us to have is only for those whose brains have developed to a certain level and can think in certain ways? Why not to infants? And of course, infants teach us things, and Jesus means this infants figuratively. We can be like infants. Those who receive the gospel like an infant are those who know their need. They need God, and they recognize that need that each and every one of us has. They're the ones who see clearly, who see what the kingdom of God is about. And for those who don't see it, for those who refuse to accept Jesus's humble kingdom, Jesus calls them out. As we've seen, this passage has some judgment where Jesus names what's wrong. And yet, this passage isn't all about judgment. It also ends with some of the most comforting and consoling words in all of Scripture. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Both of these, of judgment and of mercy and of grace, side by side. And one of our youth pointed out so wisely that this judgment and this grace in the Gospels, they always go together. Sometimes, she said, we need to be called out. We need to be told what we're doing wrong. And at the same time, Jesus always and continually offers this forgiveness. He offers a chance to turn around, to do things differently, to see what you haven't seen yet. Because both judgment and mercy, they're born of the same love. Both are expressions of God wanting what is good for us. Judgment, it calls us away from that which is taking away our life, that's destroying us. And mercy, it calls us into that life that Jesus offers. Both of them born of love. I couldn't help but think, while I was preparing for this sermon, of the holiday that we just celebrated yesterday. Here we are, we're 250 years after the Declaration of Independence was signed and the founding folks declared that all people are created equal. And if we look honestly at the last 250 years, we'll speak with both judgment and with consolation. We'll see both the very best that the country has to offer, and we'll also see its very worst. So for me, this prompted my thoughts of how the USA provided a home for my ancestors, those traveling from Germany and from the Netherlands, farmers who needed land and found it here and found a better life for their families. And I ought to be forever grateful for that. And for me, this is also a place where I can be legally married to my wife, Debbie. And that's not true everywhere, and I don't take that for granted. Today, in 2026, about 20% of the world's residents all across the world, only about 20% are in that place, are in a place where they can be legally married to someone of the same sex. And I don't take that for granted either. And there are so many more things that I could name. You have your own, undoubtedly. How this place has provided for you and your family, a place where we can gather here today and express our religious freedom. And, of course, if we're honest, we have much to lament, too. Much about our nation's history that Jesus condemns. Violence against all sorts of people, against the native inhabitants of our land, the brutality, utter brutality of slavery and its legacy that continues to shape our society today. one of the highest levels of gun violence in the world. When you love something, you're honest about it. You see it, the good and the bad. And that's why I think that Jesus offers so much judgment in these passages, this passage that we've read today, for those who don't accept him. Because if you love someone, you're honest. You want what's good for them. And in this passage, Jesus loves them enough to call them out and to draw them into a different sort of life. Now, it's hard because we don't always want those things that will actually set us free. We don't always want the freedom God offers. Because for many of us, that means letting something go. It means giving something up, maybe part of our power or esteem or how people think of us, some marker of success or superiority that makes us feel okay about ourselves because we're better than someone else. We are invited to give those up. And when Jesus says, "Come to me," he invites us to lay down those burdens, to lay down the burden of a need to control things or a need for stability, a need to justify our existence, to prove why we matter. We're invited to lay them down. And the good news is that Jesus wants to carry them with us. Jesus wants to give us rest. What burden do you carry today? What is that weight or that pressure that's on you that takes you away from the true life that Jesus offers? What gets in the way? What can he take from you? When you lay down your burdens, you're also asked to pick something up. You're asked to take on a yoke. Now, when we got to this part of the passage in Chipotle, despite my being from a family, an ancestral lineage of farmers, I don't know a lot about yokes. So I pulled up a picture of a yoke, pulled up Wikipedia, we figured out what it is. And for anyone else who might want a little bit of definition, a yoke is a piece of wood that goes over the back, usually, of the neck of a cow. And that enables them to pull things like farm equipment or wagons. And it also enables the human being to kind of guide and steer them and help them where they should go. So I pulled out my phone, we looked at this picture, and the best picture that I could find showed this yoke going around the necks of two cows. And as I learned, that's the most common form of yoke, yoking two cows together so that they can share in the load, they can share in the work as a pair. And so I told the youth that I imagined Jesus like leading us and guiding us with this yoke that he places on us like a farmer. I still think that's an okay interpretation, but there's a better one that the youth gave me. One of our youth asked, "What if Jesus is that other cow? What if he not only puts the yoke on us, but he's yoked with us too? Take on my yoke so that he can help us carry our burdens." That was it. That was just it. Jesus asks us to take on a yoke of living as his disciples, but he doesn't expect us to do this alone. He bears it with us. He is yoked to us in love. "Come, you who are weary," he says, "and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Find true life with me. We can do it together."